This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Kenny Omega, and you are listening to the New Japan Purocast. You fools!
All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Monday evening, September 25th, at the time that we are recording this. That is right, Damon. In the interest of full disclosure, you had work-related engagements yesterday, so we had to postpone our podcast that both of us look forward to each and every week. But here we are, a Monday night, ready to talk about this Destruction in Kobe show, which happened yesterday, September 24th. I know our listeners are just hankering for our thoughts on the show, so what do you say we get right into it?
Yeah, no bullshit. Cut the bullshit. We got a show to review. Monday night. So I got a couple monsters in me. I'm feeling pretty good about this. Usually these are some of our shakier shows, right? I get a little sleepy right around. I start fading away, but I'm full of pep and vim, Colin, because I think we saw a good show, right? I think we saw a decent show of the three. This probably was my favorite. And I don't know about you. But I was pleased with what I saw. How about it?
Yeah, I thought that out of the three Destruction shows, this one was definitely the easiest to watch. And I think that the main event, am I crazy if I say that this Kenny Omega versus Juice match was worthy of being in a potential match of the year list? I thought it was great.
I thought it was really good, Colin. I don't think that it'll get many votes. That being said, again, I thought it was a great match. And first, before we even get into the thoughts of the match, Colin, if you don't mind, that is.
Oh, I mind.
Well,
no, go ahead.
On here anyway. Let's talk a little bit about Kenneth Omega. Two points. One, there were a lot of asses and seats in that building.
There were.
That building, if I'm not mistaken, was sold out, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to have those statistics for you in just a moment. But yeah, okay. Well, like when they showed that aerial shot of the building in Kobe, the Kobe World Hall, I thought to myself, damn, this is really a packed house that we've got going on now. Now, I don't have the statistics at this moment. They are not up on my usual resource.
Okay. Well, it was, correct me if I'm wrong, he mentioned it in his post-match promo, but it was a sold-out building, over 5,000, right? If I'm not mistaken. So,
sure, it looked like it.
And also, let's be truthful, there really wasn't a lot of sexiness on the show. I don't think that it was the third of three matches for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Title that was bringing in the people. No offense, kids, but
which was probably the best of those three matches. Actually,
it was. Yeah, I would agree. I didn't have a problem with that match at all. Actually, I enjoyed it. But Kenny Omega and Juice Robinson on top brought that house, which is pretty fucking amazing if you think about it. Kenny Omega is an anchor. It's not like he wasn't before. I mean, the guy main evented the goddamn Tokyo Dome. But if there were any doubts in anyone's mind about the drawing power of Kenneth Omega, you might want to tune into this show and take a look at that crowd. Again, this on paper was nothing to write home about. And that gate and that house was on the back of Kenny Omega. And truth be told, Juice Robinson. There had to be some intrigue there for it. But truth be told, I saw a lot of Bullet Club t-shirts in that crowd.
Oh, yeah. This match, to me, did so many things, not only just for Juice Robinson, but Kenny Omega as well. Because, okay, here's a guy who's not even a month removed from knee surgery, right? Not even a month removed. And he goes out there, and I thought that this knee surgery, this injury really worked to the match's benefit. I mean, yeah. I thought that they told such a great story, and we're going to get into that. But the point that I was kind of reaching towards was that usually if anyone would ask me, especially this year, who's the greatest wrestler in the world right now, my answer would be Kazuchika Okada. However, after watching this match, I had some thoughts pop into my head, and I started thinking to myself, you know, Kenny Omega, he might be not just a number two to me at this point, but like a 1B.
Yeah.
Like if Okada's 1A, then Omega has to be 1B because, wow, what a performance here. I mean, with all the pressure in the world, just had knee surgeries in the main event with Juice. I mean, you would say that there's a certain amount of pressure on young Kenneth here. Plus, he's the IWGP United States Champion, and he had mentioned he wants to turn this title into something special, not just a never title or what the IC title started out as. I mean, you heard the promo. Kenny Omega had a lot of pressure on him. He delivered just as he's done in every big match situation he's been in this year. And let's talk about Juice for a second.
Yeah.
I feel like we're a broken record sometimes talking about the journey of Juice Robinson from being a geek on NXT to entering New Japan Pro Wrestling and us wondering why he's there to now the probably the defining match of his career up to his point. Would you say that this is his best match thus far?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and here's the thing. We say this, you know, we've said this a lot in 2017. You know, every opportunity that he's had, it feels like he's been able to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Which is the sign of a pro wrestler improving. It's a sign of you know, it's weird because we've been very fortunate in the sense that we've seen the entire progression. We've done a show the entire progression, and you're right. We were questioning, what is he doing? Why is he here? I remember even saying, you know, going so far as to say, hey, you know what? Shave the dreadlocks. Start over. You need a new gimmick.
He swerved us on that one time, remember?
Look, you know, and again, we are not the most patient people in the world.
You're not.
I'm not. No. I will. That if there's a fault, there's one. Two, I eat too many carbs.
Yes,
but besides that, I mean, I'm really.
Let's talk about all your faults on this podcast. Actually,
I got a team telling me every fucking week all my imperfections, my friend. I don't need anybody else.
Oh, you're trying to avoid that? Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
Sorry.
You know, there's that narcissistic thing I got
right,
going on.
Right.
And it's a big fucking deal. Woo. Trying to weed through all that fucking spaghetti. Woo. Anyway, Juice, we're talking about here, kids. You know, we were privileged enough to come along for the ride with him. Yes, this was his best performance. And I do want to talk more about Juice, mind you, but I do want to make just kind of kick back my second point on Kenny Omega. You may have heard of him.
The cleaner
of the elite. That knee looked pretty fucking good to me, Colin. And here's the thing. Yes, he sold it a lot, and yes, that match involved many spots and many moments where, again, they were working that leg and they were taking advantage of a situation that everyone knew going into that match. No secret to anyone. But you're watching that match, and I'm watching that match, and you know those spots that he hits, you know, especially like you know when he's setting up dives over the top rope or V triggers or you know stuff like that, you know. He's limping and selling, but then when it's time to hit a move, You know, he's putting a lot of weight on that knee. He's moving. It didn't look like he was down a notch at all to me. So that was very positive news. That's very positive news. Now, again, that doesn't mean that he didn't have an ice pack on his knee after the match. I'm sure he did. But what he did, what he needed to do to get through that match. And again, I wouldn't put it in the upper echelon of matches that we've seen this year. I'm not going to go that far. But I will say, best Juice Robinson match, a great match. I'll go great. I enjoyed it thoroughly. But I can't put it in that match of the year category, Colin, unfortunately.
See, I think I enjoyed this match a little more than you did, actually.
No, I mean, really? I mean, are you, like, putting it in the stratosphere of the hour draw? Right?
No, what, okay. Damon?
Right, I'm getting.
What other matches are in that stratosphere in wrestling
again,
in general?
I gotta find a fucking spot for you here. I'm just trying to find out where you're putting this thing.
Well, how about this? How about a high level G1 climax match? That's what this was to me. It was a high level G1 match, better than their first G1 match.
Better than, I'm gonna throw a match at you. Better than Elgin, Omega, Long Beach.
Better than the Long Beach match? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll say it's better than the Long Beach match. If the Elgin Omega match is 4.75 stars, I'll say that this Juice match was 4.5. And I think that's the rating I'm giving it. 4.5.
That's fair. I would put it in that world.
And that's a great match.
That is a great match. Absolutely. Okay. I'm just trying to get where you're at here. Because, again, Colin, we throw around the fucking fours like it's, you know.
I know. Like they're going out of style.
Yeah. Like
give them out like
Santa
candy.
Claus on a fire engine throwing out candy to the kids. You know, that's us. Jerks. look, I just want to make sure that, you know, I just want to see. Because, again, you get excited. I get excited. We all get excited. I just want to see where it sits. 4.5, I'm comfortable with that.
I don't want to blow our wad on this match right off the bat, so I didn't mean to be so graphic. I apologize.
Children are listening to this show.
I know. What do you say we go to the beginning of the card here?
Yes.
Work through this from the bottom up. Let's start off with the first match. It was a tag match featuring the team of Kawato and Tenzan taking on one of my favorite tag teams in New Japan, Kitamura and Oka. And my only thought while watching this is, my God, I hope that Kitamura and Oka are in the World Tag League. You think that's a safe bet?
I don't know if it's a safe bet, but I would love it. I want them to be together forever. I really do. I enjoy them.
These guys are going to be stars sooner rather than later.
Wow. Colin's on board early. He's on board early. Yeah, they got a nice look. I just think they are two peas in a pod. I really hope that when they do go on excursion, they're together. I never want to see them apart. I love them. They're great. I mean, the match was cool. I didn't have a problem with the match. Tenzan tried. He did what he could do.
He picked up the win for his team with the Anaconda Vice on Oka.
As he should. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. But I think there's a nice little sprint. I enjoyed it. Didn't have a problem with it. Don't have much to say about it. I mean, you know, I don't want to rest on our laurels and give you the old, it was what it was, you know. But, you know, it was good. It was fine. I had no problem with it.
Yeah, fine 5-minute and 42-second opening match featuring a veteran and three young lions.
Right. And it was exactly what you expected it to be finish-wise. Yeah, I'm on board with it. It's fine. You know, watch the progression. It's good.
All right, up next, a 10-man tag featuring the team of Ricochet, Taguchi, Tiger Mask, Liger, and Makabe, taking on Taka Michinoku, El Desperado, Tai Chi, Kanemaru, and Iizuka.
And this is where we got our shout, isn't it?
That is right. Kevin Kelly, alluding to the fact that I had mentioned on a previous podcast, I had said to you, if you watch Iizuka's Titantron, it's just nothing but him committing felonies and like doing things that he should be locked up for on all accounts.
Yeah, I hate. Well, first
Iizuka.
No, I don't. Listen, I don't hate anyone. I prefer not to see people.
In the ring.
Yeah. Truth be told, I really didn't have a problem with this match. I thought this was all action. It felt like nobody took a breather, right? It felt like nobody grabbed a hold. There was plenty going on. See, for me, when we talk about the nonsense and we talk about the shitty fucking, you know, the stuff that me and you, we both hand wave, right? I don't mind that in match number two. In fact, it's probably fucking great that it's in match number two because it's, you know, it's 8 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it was, of pure, nonstop, unadulterated, just balls-to-the-wall pro wrestling. Shitty, you know, brawling, nonsense pro wrestling, but that's what you want to – I mean, if I had a choice, I'll see that in the second match. I don't give a shit. What, you're going to – you know – well, first of all, Kyle, there's more sodomy in this match than
you had mentioned.
Unbelievable, right? I mean, how many times do we see a hammer get shoved up somebody's ass in this match? At least two, right? That's two more than I care to see.
And that's perfectly legal.
I mean, Jesus Christ! Enough with the hammers in the asshole, please. Can't believe I have to say that on my own podcast, but please. Enough. And then, Azuka, let me tell you something. Colin, pardon my French. That guy's an ass eater. Yeah, he likes to get in there.
He likes to take a big chunk.
Yeah, he is a literal ass eater. And we saw that again. So, even with that said, Colin, I thought this match was a sprint. I thought this match was goofy. I thought this match had a lot of action. I wasn't bored at all. It wasn't like I was looking at my phone. In the second match, why not? Go for it. Fucking shove anything you want up somebody's. I don't care.
You know,
park a car in Taguchi's ass. I don't care. Right? It's the second match. And it's, trust me, it's a lot better than saying, oh, we're going to grab a fucking chin lock for 8 minutes. It's fine. I'm okay with it. I just don't want to see it in my main events.
You know what killed me about this match, though? And basically, at this point, any match featuring Ricochet, like, you know that no matter what the lineup is, no matter who is in this multi-man tag, you can take comfort in the fact that Ricochet is in this. And it's going to bring he brings a certain level of excitement to any match that he's in. However, at this point, knowing what I know, I feel a sort of melancholy at this point because it seems to me like he's just, you know, seeing out the rest of this contract until the end of the year. He's not really going to be involved in much. I think him being involved in anything noteworthy or any serious feuds at this point is kind of out the window. I mean, I don't know anything, but I mean, all indications point to the fact that you know, he's done everything that he can do in the indies. He's I mean, look where he is in New Japan right now. Second match, multi-man tag. He's kind of just seeing out this contract. And
Colin, you sound like the guy in high school, senior year. In the spring, the summer's coming, and you got your girl, and she's going off to college, right? And you're like, oh, look, I know this is not going to last, but I'm trying just to make the most of it right now. Listen, I know you're going away to UCLA, and oh, I can't imagine.
Fly in. It can work.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
We can visit.
Yeah. No, she's not having any of that. She's looking forward to all the gentlemen she's going to meet out there at Cal Berkeley.
In Orlando.
Yeah, beautiful Orlando. Beach bods in Orlando. Well, look, Colin, make the most of what you got. You know what they say, Colin?
You don't know what you got till it's gone?
That's one. Also, Colin, if you love someone, set them free.
Set them free to...
to Orlando.
to shitty booking.
Well, look. That's neither here nor there. Hey, listen, he's here now. Enjoy what you got. Enjoy what you got.
Just wanted to mention that because that is what I feel anytime I see Ricochet on New Japan now. It's just like, yeah, he's here. He's here for a little while longer. I mean, look, the guy's a star. I mean, I really wish that they would say to him, like, look, if you stick around, you could be IWGP.
You're the community college here.
You're right. Right.
You know, you don't really have to go away.
Right, yeah. You can still live at home and go to community college, and you don't need to.
There's good schools around here.
What's the rush?
We got good schools here.
Jeez. I do understand, though. I really do understand. It's just it's always in the back of my mind when I see Ricochet now. But that's neither here nor there. I agree with everything that you have said about that you said about this match. Went about 7 minutes. Action, comedy, not bad at all. Makabe picks up the victory with the King Kong knee drop on Taka. I kind of, you know, that I do question that Makabe picking up the win. Just well, because the next match that we saw, featuring Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi picked up the win there, and we saw it. It built to something towards the end of the show. I don't want to spoil anything. We'll get into that. But
all right, well, let's address that thought for a minute, Colin, because I know people are screaming at the radios right now. Yoshihashi picks up the win, right? So that helps set the table for Yoshihashi, right? Well, Togi Makabe gets the win. That's setting the table, right?
Remember, right.
Well, you know, that never titles, that's something in his sights. So we're going to give the big guy the win.
That's what I'm saying. Right? He beat a Suzuki Goon member here.
Right.
So we're moving towards Makabe versus Suzuki for
that's
the never
what
title.
I think we are. Right. Remember they had their little interaction post-match, right? I think it was the first show, the first Destruction show, was it? That's what it seems like we're going. And,
I don't want to say that isn't going to be a good match. I think it does have potential to be a good match, but it just feels like this never title picture with Suzuki as champion is kind of like a vortex.
There's a lot of people that I saw online that, you know, I think everybody to a person that listens to this, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think by and large, our audience digs Suzuki, right? Yep. But online, you do see people kind of his reign as never champion. So far, can't say that there's been much spectacularness to this never title reign. That being said, can Makabe and Suzuki have a good match? Yeah, I don't think there's anybody on that roster that can't have a good match. But you know, is it a sexy matchup? Is it something that's gets people juiced up? Pardon the pun. I don't know. And again, it might be just a time killer to get to the dome, but I can't imagine many people doing cartwheels over a Suzuki Makabe match.
I love how the first letter in the NEVER acronym stands for New Blood, and the match is going to be Makabe versus Suzuki.
Right. Combined age of 87 in the ring.
Nothing says new blood like Makabe and Suzuki in the ring, but
yeah,
I digress. So it looks like do you think that'll be a power struggle match? That sounds like a power struggle match.
I won't be surprised. Man. I mean, either that or I'm racking my brain trying to think if there's any smaller B-level shows in between there, and I'm having a stroke.
Let me run this by you. So what if Makabe defeats Suzuki, right?
Right.
Let's say this happens a power struggle. He defeats Suzuki. He overcomes the Suzuki Goon vortex.
Right.
And then who comes out for the challenge but none other than Tomohiro Ishii.
And here we go again.
And here we go. Makabe Ishii, Dome, never title. Huh. Would you be down with that? We've seen it 50,000 times, literally.
Yeah. Look, they would have a good match. They would have that big beefy match that you love. That big beefiness. You like the beefy.
Hey, I love two bulls going in there and just
That's what you'd have.
Clobbering each other.
And they've had good matches together, but yes, it would be deja vu all over again. And I think with the amount of talent that they have on that roster, I would hope that we could come up with something a little bit different, something a little bit fresher than Makabe Ishii. But I would not be surprised at all, I tell you, if Makabe walks away with that never belt. I would not be surprised.
Let's move on to Goto and Yoshihashi taking on Bad Luck Fale and Chase Owens. I'll tell you what, this match was 5 minutes long, a little over 5 minutes. I kind of started to see what a lot of folks are saying about Chase Owens just being a guy who's a good hand. He's not bad. He's not great. He's just there. He's a low level Bullet Club guy teaming with Bad Luck Fale, you know, taking the fall here. Yoshihashi hitting the karma on him, picking up the win, building towards something greater at the end of the evening. I have various thoughts on that. We'll get to that.
All right.
But yeah, not a bad match. It's looking like it's going to be Goto and Yoshihashi in the World Tag League, right?
I would venture to say yes.
I mean, Kevin Kelly alluded to that on the English commentary feed as well.
Okay, so, well, we're on the same page, Big Kev.
Yeah, so it's looking like Goto and Yoshihashi, maybe Fale and Chase Owens. I think that's a safe bet probably for the World Tag League.
What about Kenny? You think Kenny?
Oh,
Kenny
God.
And Chase?
I mean, I would absolutely love for the Big Four to be completely excluded from the World Tag League because it just makes the whole thing unbelievable.
There's a lot of banged up bodies, man. I would have zero problems not seeing Okada, not seeing Tanahashi, not seeing Naito, and not seeing Kenny in it.
They do not need to be in it.
They don't need to be in it. There's none of those teams are winning it. None of them. I would have no problem. Let them rest, man. I've been saying that a lot, though. I've been saying rest up a lot, and nobody's listening to me, Colin. Nobody's listening to me.
Does anybody ever listen to you, Damon?
I mean, listen, you'd be surprised.
You're a very persuasive man.
I do. Listen, you got that right. I don't know how I do it sometimes. Look, it's something that I've been asking for all year, for those four to rest. But lo and behold, I'm sure we won't. They'll be in the World Tag League, and that'll be that. So, okay, where are we? Chase, yeah, he did good. I like this match. I think Goto did well as well. I don't know. Do you think Goto and Yoshihashi are odds-on favorites for this World Tag League?
I mean, listen, they're not going to be doing anything else. Let's be honest.
I can't imagine.
I mean,
right?
What else could Goto and Yoshihashi possibly be penciled in for at the Dome?
Battle Royale.
Yeah, Battle Royale. However, I think that those two guys are a little above that. I mean, come on.
Michael fucking Elgin was in that Battle Royale last year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Michael Elgin was...
The Rumble? What do they call
The Wrestle Rock Rumble.
There you go.
You know. The New Japan Rumble.
The New Japan
for
Rumble.
Crying out loud.
But yeah, I mean, listen, Yuji Nagata was in it 2 years in a row.
He was.
Right? Not chopped liver in there. Their names in that battle royal. So Scott Norton.
That's right. Yeah, I was just looking at a picture of Scott Norton on, I don't know if it was Facebook or Twitter, but he has a Dig Dug shirt on. And it is
the
just.
The video game?
Yeah, yeah. It's the greatest
dude,
photo
my
ever.
Fucking game.
Right?
That's my game, Dig Dug.
Yeah, well, Scott Norton is
Dig Dug.
He's a Dig Dug fan.
Wow. Wow. I would not have guessed.
Yeah, doesn't that blow your mind in a way?
Little, Kind of, sort of, yeah. Donna does. Hey, speaking of fans and shit like that, can I just give a prop? And I don't have it in front of me, and I forget names, and I'm really sorry, but you know who you are. There was a guy who, remember I went on my rant, my Britpop rant, Menswear, the band?
Yes. Right?
Fucking somebody hooked me up with the whole fucking album. Oh, what a fucking day that was. Oh, I've been playing it for all week. So thank you to the person who gave me the hookup for Menswear Nuisance. I truly appreciate it. Okay, let's continue on.
All righty, let's talk about this next match. Beretta versus Yujiro Takahashi in Beretta's first venture into the heavyweight division as a singles competitor. You know, when I found out that this match was happening, I kind of questioned Yujiro being the guy that Beretta goes up against in his first big singles match. However, once the match started, and once I really thought about it, it did make a lot of sense, because, you know, look at Yujiro, a guy who was originally a junior heavyweight, worked his way up the ranks to heavyweight, is a former never champion. So it did make sense that Beretta, a junior, would have to go through somebody on a lower level who took a similar path. Now, let's talk about Yujiro for a second.
All right.
We've made a lot of jokes about Takahashi, Yujiro Takahashi, throughout the history of this podcast. Lots of Yujiro humor scattered throughout, if you go back and listen to the episodes. I'll tell you what, if he is put in a position like this where he has to have his working boots on, which he did in this match, I felt.
Right.
He's no slouch.
Nope, he's not. There's nobody on that roster that's a slouch.
No.
And I think it's really, you know, we've said it not every week, but we've said it enough where you should fucking know. If they get the tap on the shoulder and a spotlight is shined on them and they're asked to put on a performance, they can. There's not many people that can't on that roster. You know, go down the roster. Even like a Fale, who might struggle with some people, but you get him in the ring with some of the best wrestlers in the world, mind you, but you get him in the ring with a fucking Okada or a Tanahashi or somebody of that ilk, you're going to have a great match. Yeah, he had his working boots on. And it's not like he hasn't. The problem is that he hasn't had the need to be that guy.
Right.
Right? He hasn't, you know.
I mean, why would you kill yourself when you're never put in that position?
Exactly. Right. So, you know, a lot of the times when we complain, or what comes across as complaining, or us bitching and moaning, or whatever you want to call it, it's not so much the blame that we're putting on the individual performers. Truth be told, it might be just, I wish these guys would be put in a better fucking position. Now, you can't always be put in the best fucking position, right? There's only so many spots.
Right.
Right? And the role that guy has is to be the pimp. The fucking
the Tokyo
guy
pimp.
The
chicks that come out and shake their ass.
Yes. I mean, that's his role.
That's his gig.
And that's, right. Now, is that my cup of tea? No, of course not. It's just not. I think it's nonsense.
I like Peter. I think that's her name.
Muffin
Ass on Instagram.
what a handle.
I'm a follower.
Are you? Do you follow?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, keep me updated on her whereabouts.
You got to get on that Instagram, Damon.
I don't need another social media, my man. I'm good. I'm really fucking fine. But, he's just not put in the position. So, here's the position. Here's the tap on the shoulder. Go out there and have a wonderful match. And let's not forget Beretta, right? It's not like, listen, this is the first singles match that Beretta's had since, what, 2016 Best of the Super Junior?
Right? Probably. And, like, I can't remember the last time Yujiro was in a memorable singles match. I mean, this was Yujiro's best match in, God, years?
A while. A good strong while.
A long while.
Right. Now, Beretta, you know, you watch his stuff here in the Indies, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, various other places where he gets work. you know, he's wrestling singles matches, and they're good fucking strong matches. I like it. So, you know, it's not like he's this is foreign to him. He can work a singles match, and he has, and he can, and he does, and he does it well.
And I look forward to seeing plenty more Beretta singles matches, including, I hope, a position in next year's G1.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a goal at least, right? That'd be a goal at least. So yeah, I mean, so again, you got a guy who, you know, the only question mark that you had going in was, or it wasn't Beretta. Let's be truthful. It was Takahashi, and that's okay, because he hasn't shown that in a long while. It's been a good long while since he's gotten a tap on the shoulder. Came through. I thought the match was good, very good. I was actually a little surprised Beretta got the win, because we know New Japan likes to take their fucking time with this, and it certainly would be okay for the veteran heavyweight to get the win over the guy who just graduated. Now, the one thing that I don't like, Colin, is, again, this, and it might be just a subconscious thing, and it is a Japan thing. I get it. I know. But it is that line in the sand of almost to the tune of, well, listen, the juniors, you really don't have to pay much fucking attention to it, because, you know, you don't see the good stuff or the real stuff, you know, the important stuff, until you get to the heavyweights, you know? So I wish in 2017 we didn't have to say that, but it still is a thing.
Perception-wise, it's a thing, but, like, match quality, when you think about it.
Right.
I mean, look what we've seen this past year from the junior heavyweight division.
I mean, look at the junior heavyweight division throughout time, right? You know, from Eddie to Benoit to Liger to, you know, Otani, and the list goes on and on.
How about I thought of Eddie Van Halen. Like, as soon as you mentioned Eddie, I didn't even think of Eddie Guerrero.
I'm thinking,
like, when was Eddie Van Halen in the junior heavyweight division?
Yeah, yeah. He wrestled Naoki Sano, I believe, for the IWGP. You know what I mean, right?
That's right.
Match quality is never an issue with the juniors. It's just that perception of, okay, this is, we got to wait for the heavies for it to be serious. So, that being said, good match, fine match. Beretta picks up the win, a little surprising.
With the dude buster.
The dude buster.
Yeah, I really thought Yujiro was going to win this, actually.
Well, yeah, there's two close near falls, right?
Yeah, there was one. I don't know the name of the maneuver, but it's very similar to Christopher Daniels' finish that he used to use.
Yeah. Those two near falls were, I personally thought they were, that was it, right? I thought that was
Angel's
was,
Wings, I think it was called. Yeah. Similar to that.
I don't know fucking names of moves. You know. Look, everybody's got that is my gigantic pet peeve of pro wrestling, where everybody's got to, like, brand their move like a fucking.
It's a rainmaker. You know, it's a high fly flow. It's not a frog splash. Get with it.
Whatever. I can't keep track of all that nonsense. Even though I do a fucking pro wrestling podcast.
This match, though, just to wrap it up, was one of my standout matches on this card.
Yes.
I may even go back and revisit it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I kid you not.
I enjoyed it. Where are we star-wise?
We are 3 stars.
3? That's it?
3.5. 3.5. It's not touching 4. Let's put it that way.
No, but considering who's in the ring and, you know, the fact that he hasn't been. Listen, I'm not making fucking excuses. 3.5 star match. Good match. Solid match. Let's see what else we get from Beretta after this.
Well, I can't believe that we have to talk about this match for the third time.
Oh.
For the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles. Once again, in a 3-way tornado match. Hanson and Rowe defending against the Gorillas of Destiny and KES. And, well, Damon, looks like I was wrong in my prediction that Raymond Rowe and Hanson were going to pull it off, pull off 3 victories in a row, and kind of just put both of these feuds to bed, but KES picking up the win here. I think I mentioned it at the beginning of the broadcast, this was the best match among the three. Certainly lots of smoke and mirrors in this match. Started out with brawling in the crowd pretty early. We saw a table spot in here at one point, didn't we?
Debut boy got fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah,
his back got really messed up in that one, one of them. It opened weird to me, right?
Yes.
So War Machine say, okay, this is a no DQ match, so we're going to stand in the aisle and wait for people to come out to brawl with me. Now, if I'm the other tag team, I'm G.O.D. and KES, I'm like, all right, listen, you fuckers take him, we'll take him, and we'll just double team the shit out of him, right?
Right.
Wouldn't that made sense? Of course they didn't do that. Why would that make sense?
It was full of big moves and smoke and mirrors. That's what this match is all about. Big moves, smoke and mirrors.
It was, but I don't want to discount it because the smoke and mirrors wasn't for lack of trying. You know what I mean? Like they hustled. Everybody.
Oh, yeah. I don't necessarily say that in a bad way. I mean, I know it traditionally has a negative connotation when we talk about that, but I think that it worked in the confines of this match with the, it's supposed to be a chaotic match to begin with, right?
Right. Especially with three teams in there, right?
Right.
Everybody worked hard. This was the best of the three. They had to move the fucking belts at this point, though. I couldn't imagine War Machine walking out with those titles.
Because, like you said, in the previous week, that would mean, well, they destroyed G.O.D., they destroyed KES. What's left for them?
Right. So somebody had to walk away with the titles. Now, what that means is, I'm sure we'll see some combination of one of those two teams trying again, right? I'm sure.
Well, I think that we're looking at a War Machine versus KES match coming
up. And of those options, I'll take that. I can't say I'm super excited, but enough of the three way. I think everybody's here's the problem. It was the best of the three, but I don't think anybody when that bell rang, they were like, "Oh, yay!"
This again.
Which, again, I just made no sense to me. But again, we beat that dead horse.
There were much better tag matches on this card.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be fun if somehow some of those combinations that we saw would wind up being a tag team and challenging for those titles? But, we've been saying it for three fucking years, so what do we know?
I'll tell you what, though. There was a point in this match where I really thought that War Machine was going to do it. They were set up for the finisher, and then I think it was Davey Boy who yanked the ref out of the ring. You know, they were just about ready to put away G.O.D. and the old Yankaroo and I don't know what you're thinking of, but I know what I meant.
All right, sorry.
KES hits the killer bomb, and they're your new IWGP Heavyweight Tag Champs.
Well, congratulations, KES.
It's about time, really.
Well, I think we all kind of figured they were penciled in in January at Dash when they strolled into the ring and beat the shit out of everyone, and then unfortunately Lance gets the injury and has to take some time off. And you know, I don't want to say G.O.D. and War Machine were placeholders, but I think everybody had them penciled in as champs. So they got them. And good for Lance. Honestly, let's also tip our hat to him coming back from that kind of surgery and not an easy thing to do. So you could kind of tell him winning the belts didn't get lost on him, right? And the comeback and the kind of struggle he had in 2017. So I think you got to tip your hat to him. And I don't want to see another three way, but good for KES, new champs. Good for them.
So I think that the second half of the show here really kicked things into a higher gear, and we kicked it off with a tag match featuring the team of Tanahashi and Elgin
I like that tag team.
I like that tag team as well. Taking on Kota Ibushi and David Finlay.
I don't really like that tag team. But
I don't really like that tag team either, and it's because... Damon, what should Finlay do at this point? I feel like he is just... They either need to send him on excursion somewhere or really do something Juice-esque with him. Although I don't think that he has the charisma that Juice has.
I don't want to discount the guy. I don't think he's given the opportunity yet.
No.
I don't think he's been given the opportunities that Juice has.
I just hate to see him floundering because he really is so talented and can be great one day.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him as the fall guy in these tag matches.
That's what he is right now. And, you know, we've given a million scenarios of where he could go and what he can do. Who knows?
We've been watching him forever now, though. Like, do you realize, like, imagine how many Finlay versus Jay White matches we've reviewed. Yeah. Yeah. On this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at where everybody else... the thing that bothers me the most is look at all the people that have kind of blazed past him.
Right, they've blown past him. Jay White blew past
Juice.
Him. Juice. Look at Juice right now. God, that guy's a star at this point.
I mean, maybe a bad example is Hiromu Takahashi, right? Evil.
Well, we're gonna talk about Hiromu because... Oh boy.
Right.
Oh boy.
But I mean, again, these are guys that you know, just have, I mean, they weren't in the same class, mind you, as a David Finlay, you know, dojo class maybe. Maybe I don't know, maybe they have cross paths. I don't know.
He had to have been in Jay White's class.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know timelines. So I don't fucking hold me to any of that, but
this match.
There are people. Oh, Jay White with David Finlay. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
course. I thought you meant Evil and all that.
No.
I mean, it just feels like there's a lot of guys that have just kind of plowed past.
It's like it's almost you know to go back to that college analogy that you were using earlier. It's like one of the you see these they call them lifers at these colleges, and you know they're kind of. Well past their early 20s, but they're still kind of working on that major, you know.
Yeah, PhD, right?
Yeah, you know, they're still kind of hanging out, trying to sort things out in their life, and that's kind of what Finlay is right now. He's kind of like that little bit older guy at college, and, you know, in the
Jeez, Colin. The guy's just trying to get an education, all right?
I know, but he might want to think about... doing something different at this point.
Wow. All right. Jeez. Poor Finlay. Jesus Christ.
No, it's not a knock on Finlay. It's just
a knock on older gentlemen having to get a college education.
I just...
Sorry, that guy fucked David Finlay.
Listen,
about the other guy.
Listen, yeah. he should be a bit more than what he is at this point,
That's not his fault.
And, right. No. I'm not saying it's his fault. Like you said, he hasn't been... put in many opportunities, but if I was him, I'd be petitioning pretty hard at this point to be sent.
What the fuck is he gonna do? I mean, honestly, what can you do
to be sent
send me away somewhere?
CMLL or Hardcore Wrestling International.
He'd be a tag champ. He would never hold our belt.
You know, a place where he can really learn.
Yeah, that's you certainly could learn there. Yeah, he's got to go somewhere. I think everyone would agree at this point. He needs to go somewhere and just get a new coat of paint, if you will. Kota Ibushi paint. Speaking of which, I like the Elgin and the Tanahashi. I wish I was thinking about that. You know, when Tanahashi drops that Intercontinental strap, wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it be a fun fucking team of Elgin and Tanahashi going for some tag straps? I'd be into that.
That would have been a team like back in the day when the World Tag League actually meant something.
Yeah,
like, there's a team right there that can run roughshod.
I would be. And remember we were saying that when Elgin first came in, you know, Tanahashi could take some time. I don't want to say take some time off, but work tag matches half the year. Great partner. interesting, add a little spice to the fucking tag situation. Be nice. That'd be nice. I like this match. I thought this match was all right. What, Elgin getting a big win? The Dr. Bomb, right?
Yeah, Elgin hitting his finisher on Finley. Of course, this match really building up to the Tanahashi versus Kota Ibushi IC title match that we're going to see at King of Pro Wrestling, right? I think everybody's looking forward to that.
Yes. I don't know where Elgin goes. He'll be in a tag match with somebody, right?
Although, Damon, I'm looking at the King of Pro Wrestling card right now.
You got it in front of you. What do you got?
And guess what?
What do you got?
Tanahashi is scheduled to team with Makabe and take on Juice and Kota Ibushi. So, it looks like we're holding off this IC title match. This has to be wrong. Because I'm looking on the official New Japan Pro Wrestling website here. This is the official King of Pro Wrestling card right in front of me in my hot little hands.
And what is it?
They're saying it's Tanahashi and Makabe taking on Juice and Kota Ibushi. You don't even know what to say. You're speechless.
Okay. All right, let's review the rest of this fucking show. That really depressed me. All right, what else? What do you think? Tag match, great, fine. Tanahashi did well. Ibushi did great.
Yeah.
And we're building toward a tag match for King of Pro Wrestling. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, building towards a tag match for King of Pro Wrestling, apparently. Evidently.
Okay. All right, well, maybe we'll see that match somewhere along the line. What was next? That rocked my world. All right.
It kind of rocked my world as well. Coming up next here is a match I really enjoyed the hell out of, actually. It was a six-man tag featuring the team of Rocky Romero, Toru Yano, and Tomohiro Ishii taking on Bushi, Sonata, and Naito.
I like what they're doing with Ishii and Naito. And boy, did I like that fucking post-match. Just beat the shit out of Naito. Holy moly. Fucking Ishii was just chopping and chipping away at him. Whew. I was like, Christ almighty, this is the end of the match. Take it easy.
Yeah, he pulled Naito back in the ring and just chopped the ever-loving hell out of him.
Yeah, that was pretty intense, actually. I really dug that. That was the thing I walked away with this match the most, truth be told.
By the way, I just checked multiple King of Pro Wrestling cards now on various sources. And they have it as Tanahashi and Makabe taking on Kota Ibushi and Juice. So I guess this Tanahashi Ibushi match is going to be a power struggle main event, I'm assuming.
Very good possibility of that.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, in last year's power struggle, I think it was Naito versus Jay Lethal. Is that what it was?
Right? Oh, I hate when you do this because I always feel like I don't remember what I had for lunch.
Anyway, I feel like the IC title headline last year's Power Struggle show, so...
Wouldn't be surprised.
I'm just kind of shocked, but anyway, I'm sorry. Getting back to this Ishii match, of course, I'm super pumped for Ishii and Naito at King of Pro Wrestling. It's going to be a great match. They can't have anything less than a great match.
Agreed.
Even though, you know, the writing is on the wall. We know what's happening here.
I think it's a safe guess, right? I think it's a safe guess. But that's okay. I mean, listen, we know what we're building for. We got our eye on the prize, Colin.
Imagine
January number 4.
Yeah, you're going to be watching Ishii versus Evil in the main event.
I don't think I will be. I'm going to say that out loud. Yeah, I don't think I will be.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. We will not have that at. I can't say we're not going to have that. Period. It might be a match, but I don't think it's going to be where you think, or where you're alluding to, where it's going to be. No, I think we're safe there. I think we're good.
Yeah, so there you go. Ishii picking up the win for his team with the Brainbuster on Bushi. We're heading towards Ishii Naito, King of Pro Wrestling. It's going to be great.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Again, nothing. I don't think it's anything anybody needs to go back and rewatch, right? Although, that, like I said, that ending was pretty brutal. I would say
it was better than. Listen, I think it was better than the tag title match. I'm going to say that this Ishii six-man tag was a better match than the heavyweight tag title match, the three-way.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
It was funny, too. Naito kept his t-shirt on the entire time. But he did. He, like when Naito keeps his t-shirt on, he doesn't necessarily... That doesn't necessarily reflect on what we're getting from him in the ring. Because he wrestled in here.
Yeah. I mean, I like the match. I don't know. I mean, I might give the tag title match the nod.
Wow.
I might. Okay. Listen, they worked really hard. They
I know they did.
Absolutely worked really hard.
You're making me feel bad now that I'm like undercutting this tag title match.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go back and rewatch all three of them.
Oh, don't do that. What are you, crazy? I think this match was good. Don't get me wrong, but I might have enjoyed the tag title match a little bit better, a little bit more. Yep.
All right. Next match, tag match featuring Okada and Ospreay taking on Evil and Hiromu Takahashi.
I want to get your take first.
Okay, well, I thought that this was a fine match, but...
Better than what was on paper? Like, looking at that on paper, you happy with what you saw?
On paper, it definitely... I picture something differently in my head on paper than what we saw here. I thought that the six-man tag with Ishii and Naito is better than this match. I really want to talk about Takahashi here, a guy who... Remember at the beginning of the year how he was just a complete badass going through the junior heavyweight division?
Super protected.
Super protected.
Like one fall. Yeah, right. He took one fall in a multi-man tag match, maybe. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, beat Kushida at the Dome. Completely supermanned Kushida in the rematch, squashed him in a few minutes.
Yep.
Had an amazing match with who am I thinking? He had so many matches in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, but with Dragon Lee, the match from the New Beginning.
Yep.
Takahashi is a guy who certainly has no shortage of great matches in 2017. However, boy, how his stock has fallen in New Japan right now. Takahashi right now, I do not take him seriously. Will Ospreay just knocked him out like he was some sort of a little bitch.
Whoa.
In the last show that we watched. And this all started with the introduction of that stupid fucking stuffed cat, which I never thought was amusing. I never thought it was funny. I did not get it when everybody had this raging, this hard-on over Daryl. Oh my God, Daryl. This Daryl character took on a life of its own. And here I am thinking to myself, guys, this is making him look like the guy who I would be the least afraid of on the New Japan roster. This is stupid. This is childish. It's not amusing. He is turning into a geek. And here we are. I hope everybody had their fun with stuffed animals. I really do, because look where Takahashi is now. He's a geek.
Oh, well, look. I don't have the hatred of the stuffed animals.
It was stupid.
Look, not everyone can have the flame and fire underneath their feet throughout the entire year, right? Because if that were the case, we'd be complaining about what the fuck's happened to Will Ospreay. Why doesn't this guy get a
But Damon, he went through everybody. He went through everybody. He was one of the most dangerous guys, not just in the junior heavyweight division, but one of the most dangerous guys on the New Japan roster. Just a guy who, storyline wise, his opponent really had to be careful with in the ring, because there's no telling what this crazy dude is going to do.
I agree.
He's capable of anything. And now he... I I know that I'm probably going to regret this. You know, I went on this little mini rant here. I'm probably going to feel bad about it afterwards. But listen, this is coming from the heart right now. Takahashi is so low on my pecking order in New Japan right now.
Wow.
Like, he's just nothing.
Wow. All right. Look, again, I hold out hope in the sense of, again, not everyone can be in the spotlight 24/7, 365. You got to give other guys, you know, New Japan is very good at, okay, heat them up, cool them off. Heat them up, cool them off. Heat them up, cool them off. Listen, it was a fun 6 months, right? Fun 6 months. You don't want to take the fire off of a guy like that. He was the hottest guy in the company, it felt like.
He was. There was a point where I was thinking to myself, oh my God, Takahashi could be the first junior to make it on our Wrestler of the Year list.
Yeah. It might be a struggle.
I don't think he's going to go there now.
He had a great... You can't discount the first half of the year. That's why we always say it's a long year. Long fucking year.
It is a long year. And I did say he had so many memorable matches. So many great matches against Kushida and Dragon Lee, and matches against Ricochet and Best of the Super Juniors and Ospreay, and just so many good matches. And
I still think, though, Colin, I really do. I still think that somehow, some way, that's going to get changed to a three-way, or something's going to happen there. I really don't think I don't think he could possibly be out of the mix. You think?
I think Dome Time, there's a possibility for a three-way.
Right. Would you have a problem with that?
No, I would absolutely love that, actually. And I think that there is a definite possibility that we're building towards that. But at King of Pro Wrestling, it's Kushida and Ospreay. And I still don't know how Ospreay earned a title shot, having lost to Kushida.
He wants to prove that
he can lose again
seven times. Yeah, right. He doesn't want to go 0-7, Colin. That's a challenge, right? That's perfectly logical.
And by the way, Takahashi on King of Pro Wrestling, he's on the opening match.
Is he?
Yeah. We're going to see, I think this is the first, two Takahashis in one opening match.
Wow.
Can I just tell you what the opening match is for King of Pro Wrestling?
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah, please.
So it's Leo Tonga,
uh-oh,
Yujiro, and Bad Luck Fale.
Your new never six-man champions, by the way.
Yeah. Taking on Hiromu, Bushi, and Sanada.
Okay. Opening match, huh?
Yeah, opening match. That should be interesting.
Honestly, that shouldn't be a bad opening match.
No, it really shouldn't. You know, assuming that Leo Tonga isn't in there for too long, and he's given good instruction, which I'm sure Fale will provide him with.
Absolutely. Look, I think this is a cool. I'm not too concerned, Colin. I would agree with many of your points.
I'm not down at all with the comedy Takahashi stuff we saw this year, with the stuffed animals and the silliness and the goofiness and
again, they're just trying to give him something to fucking do.
I can't take you seriously at all-ness.
Again, are you trying to get over that he's a little bit of a loose cannon, a little ticking time bomb? He's got this infatuation with the stuffed animal.
Yeah, it was
honestly
dumb.
I don't. That doesn't really bother me that much. It really doesn't. I miss the Takahashi of old. Again, I understand that you can't, you know, you got to give other people the opportunities. And Will Ospreay, we were the first people to say, where the fuck's Will Ospreay? What's happening with Will Ospreay? I got no problem. I really don't. But I would agree that right now, he has cooled off considerably to where he was just a handful of months ago.
Boy, am I glad to get that out of my system now and
tell
everybody. Because it was hard. Let me tell you something. It was hard when everybody was that thought that this angle with the stuffed animal was so great. Yeah. And I just had to sit here and steam for months thinking to myself,
here's what you're going to hear. You don't like to have fun, Colin.
Right. Yeah.
I don't. You're not going to have fun.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I've heard it a million times.
Right.
All right. Let's move on. But listen, all stuffed animal hate, please the past Collins way. And it's not me.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Right. I'm just not into it. Anyway, Ospreay picked up the win here, of course, hitting the Os cutter on Hiromu.
Right. Well, who else was going to do the job?
Okada finally hits the Rainmaker on Evil. Right. So, good match all in all, which leads us to our main event here for the IWGP United States Championship. Kenny Omega's first defense, not even a month removed from surgery, defending against our boy Juice Robinson in what I thought was just a great match. There was a point very early on in this match that got me a bit scared because...
What's that?
Okay, so Juice was gonna go after Kenny's knee, right?
Yes.
And then he kind of like paused when he had the leg, and then he just went into a side headlock. And I got scared because I said to myself, oh my God, they are not going to make him look like a geek here. Are they really going to go this? Is this going to be the story of the match where, you know, there's a very obvious target painted on Kenny Omega and Juice is going to be the nice guy that doesn't take advantage of that because he thinks that that is somehow more sportsmanlike. But thankfully, that was just a tease. They did not go with that. And by the time that Juice actually really did get vicious with the leg, you hear those boos? That was...
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. I thought this match was really solid, man. And I know we talked a lot about it at the open, but look, I'm happy for both guys. I'm happy that, you know, Kenny was able to work through that injury, right? I'm happy that Juice was able to put on a lifetime performance as he has been consistently doing in 2017. I'm happy that the U.S. IWGP title has been elevated by this match, I think, right? I think it definitely helped.
Absolutely.
I'm happy that Kenny Omega is, you know, certifiably and undeniably a draw.
And you're happy that Yoshihashi is getting... a title shot.
Oh, wait a minute. What?
Yeah. Yeah. After the match was all said and done and Omega was backstage cutting a promo, Yoshihashi walks up to him and lays down the challenge. Now, let's examine this for a moment. Damon.
All right.
What? Okay. So earlier in the evening, we saw Yoshihashi get the win over Chase Owens.
Yes.
A Bullet Club member, right?
Yes.
A lower tier Bullet Club member. Not to disparage Chase Owens. That's just
he is
a fact.
What he is, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, right. That is just a fact. So because here's the logic here that we're supposed to go with, I guess. Because Yoshihashi defeated Chase Owens in a tag match earlier in the evening, and Chase Owens is a Bullet Club member, that gives Yoshihashi the right to challenge the leader of the Bullet Club for a title.
I see what you're saying.
Huh.
But they've always done that.
Oh, and look, I don't even have a problem with this necessarily. I mean, it's an easy defense for Kenny Omega, especially considering he's going to be on all of these Global War shows that are coming up here in the States.
Oh, you think this is going to happen in the States?
I think that there is a good chance of that, certainly.
Huh? On an ROH show?
I think so, because we've seen this Yoshihashi match a couple times before. We saw it last year in the G1. We saw Yoshihashi challenge for the briefcase. I mean...
All right. Well, then why not have it... You know, I don't know if they're going to bring it here. You think?
I don't know what they're going to do, but it is an easy... No matter where they have it, it's another easy defense for Kenny Omega, because I know that he will be defending that title at one of the ROH shows. That's confirmed. That was confirmed.
Chicago, probably, right?
Yeah, probably Chicago, which is kind of where I originally thought this Juice match was going to take place. But I think they could do it at one of the ROH shows. I think that it'll be, it's an easy next title defense for...
Right, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of intrigue going in. Like, I don't think there's a huge question of who's walking away with the title, right?
No, not at all. And it'll be a good match.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure.
There's no doubt about it.
But yes, that element of could Yoshihashi walk away? I find it a little difficult to swallow.
Well,
right.
And I'm just thinking to myself, like, and maybe they will do this at one of the ROH shows. I doubt it. But who else beat Kenny Omega in the G1 Climax? I believe that one Michael Elgin beat Omega in one of the best matches of the tournament. Now, granted, that match between Elgin and Juice was kind of an unofficial number one contender match, I guess. But the fact still remains, Elgin beat Omega in the G1. So, I mean, he holds more claim to being the number one contender for this title than Yoshihashi does.
It does feel that way, doesn't it? Yeah. I get your point, but they do it all the time. I understand. It is a sticking point with me as well. So I do see what you're saying, but yes, it's Yoshihashi, Colin. What can I tell you? That's going to happen. It is an easy defense. Let me air quote easy defense. It is something that to kill time, working our way to the dome. I mean, I hate to put it any other way, but that's exactly what it is. And the match will be good. I got no problem with the match. I think the match will be fine. It's hard to get excited over something like that, though.
Alrighty, well, that is our review of Destruction in Kobe.
Good
show, enjoyable show, great main event that I'm definitely going to go back and rewatch. I just enjoyed the hell out of it. Looking forward to more Juice, looking forward to future Omega defenses. So good things on the horizon for both of those fine young gentlemen. Before we kind of wrap things up for today, I wanted to mention a few of the matches from the King of Pro Wrestling card, which is right around the corner. Damon, it's almost October. Good Lord.
Kind of know. Unbelievable that we're even... Yeah, the year's flown by.
Flown, whatever.
Yeah.
Point is, year went fast.
They sure did. King of Pro Wrestling. What do we got, champ?
Yeah, King of Pro Wrestling, of course. Main event, Okada versus Evil for the heavyweight title, right?
Scale of 1 to 10.
I'm about an 8 for that match.
About a 6 or a 7. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
I'm having trouble. They're doing everything right. They're doing everything they possibly can.
I was going to say.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. I just... Sorry, Kevin Kelly. I don't believe... Evil will walk away with the champion. Sorry.
Well, I do. I'm predicting an Evil win. I think
you're out of your mind.
I think we're going to get Evil Ishii at the dome.
I will say that I think the match will be tremendous. There is that element of, I really don't think Okada's walking away. They're doing everything they can, though, and you got to give them props. They're doing everything in their fucking power to get everyone to get on that doubt.
The doubt train.
Yeah, they're trying. They're doing their best, but okay. It's you can only go so far on that train. And I'm about a 6 or 7.
Then, of course, we've got Naito defending that G1 briefcase against Ishii. And, you know, I know that this... We're going to do our official prediction show in the coming weeks, and I don't want to turn this into a prediction show. However, I do have one little thought I just want to throw out here for that match that kind of builds towards power struggle. Of course, I think we're all fairly certain that Naito is going to emerge victorious, correct?
I would say so, yes.
I'm going to say that earlier in the night in the opening match, Fale is going to pick up the win for his Bullet Club team, probably over, let's say Bushi, although if it was Takahashi, it wouldn't surprise me at this point.
Right.
And then he's going to come out after the match. Bad luck fall on Naito. Fale challenging for the briefcase at Power Struggle.
Hmm.
He beat Naito during the G1. That would be one more rather large obstacle for Naito to get through before the dome.
Do you really think that'll happen?
Yeah, I do. I think there's a great chance of that happening, actually. I'll even go so far as to say if Fale picks up the win in the opening match for his team,
okay.
He is coming out after the conclusion of Naito Ishii.
Right.
So all I'm saying is look for that, kids. If Fale wins, expect him in this match. And I think that this will be the match of the night.
I think it's got a real good shot of being it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's got a real good shot of being it. Yeah, if I'm going to circle one, that might be the one. Although Evil and Okada, I think, will be great.
Yeah,
Evil in a big spotlight. This is his biggest spotlight.
For sure. For sure.
I think both matches are going to be very, very good. Both matches are going to be very, very good. I wish I was more excited for Evil Okada. I'm excited for Ishii Naito. It's got a good chance to be a match of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other title match here of the evening, Kushida versus Will Ospreay for the junior title. Again.
Will be great. Will be great. That'll be great.
Did you check out their What Culture match by any chance?
I have not.
I have not either, but I heard very good things about it. I have to get around to watching that. But we're going to be
Will Ospreay against Kushida. I mean, where could you go wrong?
Right? How could it be bad? My only concern is like, what's going to happen here? Ospreay loses to Kushida for the 1, 2, 3, 4 fifth time. This would be fourth time in New Japan.
Maybe Will wins. Maybe it's Will and Takahashi down the road. Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I still think that there's a strong possibility of a triple threat match at the Dome. I don't know. I just don't see Ospreay walking into the Dome as champion.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, but okay, you don't see why not, but do you see it?
Kind of do.
You do?
I kind of see Ospreay taking the title here. Again, they can't have the fucking guy lose again to Kushida. Again?
Speaking of again, I just took a gander at the rest of this King of Pro Wrestling card, Damon.
No, a lot of agains, huh?
We are going to be treated for the fourth time to a three-way elimination match for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Titles. Guess who?
Are you fucking kidding me?
War Machine, KESGOD.
Tell me you're fucking kidding me.
I wish I were, but it is on the official card here.
Why would GOD have lost three matches? Now, they may not have taken the pinfall in all those matches, but they lost three times to try to win these titles.
Yeah, I don't see why they would need to be included.
Why are they in the match?
I mean, I know why they're in the match. I know we're getting them on the card, but come on, this makes no sense. It should be KES versus War Machine. War Machine challenging for their titles.
Oh, my God. Why again? Jesus fucking Christ. That's amazing. I don't know what I don't know what they're thinking with that, man. I don't know what they're thinking. Is there anybody on this planet that wants to see that match again? Yes, the third time was the best match, but for fuck's sake.
I think War Machine and KES could have a great tag match. Once you put GOD in there, it just turns it into a mess.
There's no the problem is that there's absolutely no logical reason why they would be in this match again.
There's really no logical reason why Yoshihashi would be challenging for the United States title either.
I mean, at least they got a win. But in three matches, where GOD hasn't gotten a win. And three shots.
I know. I know it.
At least Yoshihashi gets a pinfall win.
We might be looking at a GOD World Tag League here, them winning.
I mean, look. You gotta call it as you see it, and I'm seeing this as just really just some of the most lazy booking.
I know, and I'm thinking Dome time. I think we're looking at KES versus GOD.
I have zero interest in this multi man tag again. I'm sorry, it boggles my mind. All right,
I don't want to give away too much.
Sorry to end on a down note there, but geez, Louise. All right. Well, look, I'm looking forward. I think the main event's going to deliver. I think the semi-main event's going to deliver. I think the junior heavyweight title match is going to deliver. So you got three gems. And that you can really sink your teeth into, minus the heavyweight title match, the tag title match. That, again, what are you going to do? But I think King of Pro Wrestling is shaping up to be a solid fucking show.
Alrighty, so there you have it, folks. That is today's episode of the PuroCast. Damon, are you heading out to England?
I am.
When the hell are you going there?
If we fly out Friday, until the 8th of October. So it's going to be great. I'm going to the Rev Pro show at the cockpit. That should be a great time. I'm really looking forward to that. Hanging out with some of our listeners out there in London, and it's going to be a good time.
So leaving this Friday, coming back on the 8th of October.
Yeah, we'll have to do a show. Have to do a show over there, right?
Oh, yeah, and that's going to be our official King of Pro Wrestling preview show, probably.
Yeah, probably. All right. Well, listen, I'll lug the laptop with me. We'll figure it out. But yes, I will be next week in London. So maybe I'll get the Twitter. The keys to the car on the Twitter, and I'll let everybody know where we're at. And listen, if you're not going to that Rev Pro show, keep it tuned on the Twitter box. And then, but if you are going, come see me, say hi, buy me a beer, and we'll have some fun. All right, that's that.
All righty, folks, there you have it. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. That is really the best way to keep tabs on us. If there are any changes in the show's schedule, I go there immediately and post it. So good way to be in the know, be in the loop. And, of course, you can listen to each and every new episode directly on the website as soon as it's posted. You can listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher. It's just a whole gamut of ways to listen to the PuroCast. So we appreciate all of your support. We're always receiving so many kind messages from our great listeners all over the world. So we thank you very much for that. We love doing this. And we're going to love previewing King of Pro Wrestling, giving our official predictions on the upcoming show. Damon, any final words here before I take us home for real?
Take us home. I'll see you, everybody, in London. Thanks for listening. And please don't give Colin too much hate mail for the stuffed animals.
For not liking stuffed animals in my pro wrestling.
He's very sensitive, so please take it easy on him. All right, that's that.
On that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week on the next episode of the New Japan Supercast.